a dangerous mentality.
We're just going to elect a strong man to get the job done, as opposed to we're going to roll up our sleeves with God's help. We're going to help the poor. We're going to stand against injustice. We're going to shine like lights in dark places. And until Jesus comes, that's what we're going to do.
On the feature today, a look at some of the theology behind evangelical political involvement, or more specifically, an increasing lack of involvement in North America. In the news, a new motion being presented in Parliament to study the public health effects of increased exposure to violent pornography. The Catholic Church taking a tough stand on the issue of physician-assisted death, and a change of sponsorship for a major Canadian pro-family research group.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
A rookie Conservative MP from Alberta has introduced a motion in Parliament to have the Health Committee study the public health impacts of increased societal exposure to violent pornography. Peace River Westlock MP Arnold Viersen says there's a lot of anecdotal evidence pointing to the fact that there is a problem.
There's been a number of cases in the media in recent years, the Rutea Parsons case, the Amanda Todd case, and also the Gian Gomeshi case recently. And all these cases seem to have something in common in that there's a real lack of respect or dignity given to women. And so we were discussing, what's the common theme? Like, where are these people getting these ideas that this kind of behavior is appropriate? And through a little bit of research, came across a number of groups that were suggesting that this kind of stuff is driven by these videos that are available on the internet. And they're saying that this kind of content is having a significant impact on our Canadian society.
So how exactly does this fit into the mandate of the Health Committee? Viersen says there's two elements here. One is addiction, the other is the mental health of young women.
We've got very young children getting addicted to this stuff on the internet, and an addiction is definitely like a health concern, and so we're saying that the health committee should study this. In addition, there's also the mental health of some of these girls, like Rutea Parsons or Amanda Todd, right, where they both committed suicide because of the attitudes that exist out there. We're saying that this is a health concern. The mental health of these girls is a big deal.
The motion could come up for debate the next few weeks, and Viersen says there's a pretty good chance it'll pass.
So far, it's been overwhelming, the response from my colleagues. They've been very excited about it. In fact, I was just informed by one of my colleagues that the Committee for the Status of Women is actually studying something very similar, and that was actually proposed by a Liberal. So it looks like we'll be able to get cross-party support on this. It's just going to be to put in the hard work to make sure that we can sit down with everybody and have that talk.
In other news, the Catholic Church is taking a hard line on those recommendations from a parliamentary committee on doctor-assisted suicide. The country's largest archdiocese, the Archdiocese of Toronto, has 225 churches and almost 2 million Catholics within its boundaries. The Archbishop for the area, Cardinal Thomas Collins, wrote a pastoral letter which was read in all the churches in the Archdiocese earlier this month. He also posted a video of its contents online. He starts it like this.
Contemplating suicide? We can help. There was a time when such an advertisement pointed to a crisis line where someone was standing by to counsel you and to offer hope in a situation of intolerance.
Of course, Collins says today the notion of helping someone who is suicidal may actually mean that agents of the government would help that person commit suicide. He says there's a fundamental problem with the proposal to legalize this stuff.
Some people become convinced that at a certain point, there is no longer any value in their life, since they cannot function as they once did. Their concern deserves our compassionate respect, but it is a shaky foundation for social policy. Our value as people comes not from what we can do, but from who we are. Once we make people's worthiness to live dependent on how well they function, our society has crossed the boundary line into dangerous territory in which people are treated as objects that can be discarded as useless.
Collins says it's time for Christians to mobilize on this issue and stand for life and for the conscience rights of doctors and healthcare providers.
It is time for families across the country to have a difficult but necessary conversation about the reality of death. We need to understand the destructive implications of these legal changes and offer truly loving and merciful alternatives. And Christians should be guided by these words of Jesus that for 2,000 years have inspired heroic acts of loving service. Whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me.
Directly related to this, a proclamation from one of the largest Catholic healthcare providers in Ontario, the Hotel Dieu Grace Healthcare Organization in Windsor. They run a full suite of healthcare services in the Windsor and Chatham areas, including both a hospital and hospice programs. The organization issued a statement last week saying, quote, "Physician-assisted death is not consistent with our faith-based or Catholic teachings or our Catholic health ethics guide." And one thing more this week, a change of sponsorship in the Canadian social conservative movement. You've no doubt heard of the Institute of Marriage and Families Canada. We've featured their research on the program in the past. IMFC's been around for 10 years. It was started as the family policy research arm of Focus on the Family Canada. But it's moving, not physically. The office will stay in Ottawa, but it's moving under a different sponsorship umbrella. CARDIS will now be overseeing the work. IMFC Director Andrea Morozik says it's mostly a change in name, not a change in emphasis.
The thing about being the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada under Focus is we always knew we had a, pardon the overuse of the word, but different focus from Focus. They were looking at individual families and helping you raise your children, and we were always looking at not the personal family, but the statistics associated with the family, the research associated with the family. And so in a sense, I think it strengthened us to be part of CARDIS because now there'll be less confusion around what it is actually that the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada does.
Rosick says the new relationship with CARDIS will be a really good fit for an organization with an emphasis on policy research.
We are going to be able to do more because family undergirds everything that CARDIS does, and so there's more departments where I can get my family message out now, you know, the education department or looking at work and economics or looking at health or law.
IMFC will be rebranded to CARDIS Family starting on June 1st. Back with more after this.
God in Government is less than 2 months away. You can save $50 on your delegate fee by applying before our early bird deadline of March 18th. The three-day package includes God in Government and the March for Life and is $250. Or choose the God in Government only package for $200. This biennial event is not to be missed. For more details, visit arpacanada.ca/GG2016.
And we're back on the program. I stumbled across something online last week that I thought was worth sharing. It was a post at a website called AskDrBrown.org. The post addressed some of the problems with North American evangelicalism in its reluctance to robustly engage the culture. We link to the post from the Lighthouse News homepage this week, but the thoughts in it are so important as part of the notion of cultural and political engagement for all Christians that I thought we'd reach out to Dr. Brown for an interview. Well, he's on the line now from his office in Concord, North Carolina. Dr. Brown, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
For our listeners who might not be familiar with your work, a little bit of background on who you are, Ask Dr. Brown Ministries, the Line of Fire program, that kind of stuff.
You bet. I'm a Jewish believer in Jesus. I came to faith in 1971 as a heroin-shooting, LSD-using hippie rock drummer, and God graciously turned my life around. When the rabbis began to challenge me, how can you believe this and that, I was prompted to really get into serious study. Ended up getting a PhD in Semitic languages from New York University. The bulk of my ministry is spent really just trying to reach the body as a whole. So I've got a daily broadcast, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week, called The Line of Fire. It's talk radio, and we are billed as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. And I've been contending for revival in the church for over 40 years. Read a lot of books and articles, normally about 3 to 5 new articles a week on the website AskDrBrown.org.
It was one of those articles that drew our attention to your ministry. An article that was posted last week entitled Confronting a Dangerous End-Time Mentality. I'll let you explain in your own words, if you will, the basic premise of that article, because that's really what we want to talk about today.
Yes, sir. It's the mentality that we're in the very last generation. In other words, Jesus is definitely coming in the next few years or any moment, and that everything is only going to get worse in the society. So there's no sense taking a stand, trying to bring about change, because everything's going down. the problem with that is that every generation can think like that and will never do anything. Aside from the fact that none of us can absolutely say that the Bible clearly indicates that we have, you know, 3 years left or 5 years or whatever, no one can give that specific. The other issue is, okay, if we all had that mentality, well, why fight against slavery in the 1800s because everything is coming down? Or why try to oppose the Soviet Union in its heyday? Or why fight the Nazis? Everything is just coming down. Why should the early church fight against infanticide and violence and, you know, the gladiatorial combats? If everything is just coming down, why even bother? So it's not only unscriptural, but it's paralyzing. And to be candid, when I came to faith in 1971, the great book out those days, the famous book, was Hal Lindsey's Late Great Planet Earth. And we knew Jesus is coming any moment. I was 16 when I got saved. My oldest granddaughter is 15. You know, it's a long time going by. And yet I see so many Christians, whatever the latest bad news is, or, you know, in Canada, you got a new prime minister. He's not a good guy. This is it. Jesus is coming any minute. You know, Barack Obama in America, Jesus is coming any minute. And instead of doing something constructive, we get into this retreat mode because we're out of here any moment. It's defeating, it's unbiblical, and it's dangerous in that respect.
I also sense that some people are using it as a bit of an excuse to sort of do nothing in the culture. Does this underscore kind of an intellectual malaise, almost a laziness when it comes to doing that? I don't want to get too far into American politics, but, you know, I look at the supposed evangelical support for a guy like Donald Trump, and I shake my head and I wonder, is that all part and parcel of this package?
It's a different aspect of the package. It's the aspect of the package where someone else is going to do it. Now, if you had the mentality everything was going to go south, then you wouldn't even think that a Donald Trump could turn things around. It does reflect, in my view, an extreme carnality in a lot of the church in America, that economy and security are more important than morality, that you can elect someone who's lying constantly, who's vulgar, who has a track record of being on the wrong side of many key moral issues that the church would be concerned about, but he's going to get the job done, as opposed to it's up to the church to get the job done. It's up to us to be the salt and the light. It's up to us to bring about moral and cultural change, and then we elect someone who hopefully shares our moral values and can be a strong, good leader for the rest of the nation. Now we've just got the mentality of let somebody else come along and fix it. It's more of a nationalistic mentality than anything, and I'm finding that for many American Christians, patriotism is mistaken for the kingdom of God, or patriotism comes before the kingdom of God, and that, again, is dangerous. I see it as a fleshly reaction. In other words, if you've had it with the political establishment, then elect Ted Cruz, who I personally endorsed, as a strong moral conservative, as a proven leader, and as someone who's willing to take on the political establishment. Instead, it's almost as if we are electing someone in the image of ourselves, more reality TV star, more bluster, more big talk than substance. And that, to me, is almost a reflection of the evangelical church, of which I'm part, and a disturbing reflection.
And that kind of brings us back full circle. How much of that is because of that twisted eschatology, that end time mentality that says it's all going south anyway?
Well, I think that a good part of it relates to bad theology, the bad theology of there's nothing we can do to bring about change. But oddly enough, these same people are then looking to Donald Trump to do it. So perhaps the common thread between that theology and a vote for Donald Trump is a mentality of abdication by the church, that we're just going to elect a strong man to get the job done, the alpha male who's going to get the job done, as opposed to we're going to roll up our sleeves with God's help, we're going to help the poor, we're going to stand against injustice, we're going to shine like lights in dark places, and until Jesus comes, that's what we're going to do. So it's kind of an odd thing, but what could bring a common thread between them, as I said, is the mentality of abdication.
Dr. Brown, we're out of time. Thank you so much.
Oh, great to talk with you. Glad we could fit it in. Keep up the good work in Canada.
All right. You take care. Bye-bye.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.